Hello and welcome to The Debrief. It's Dave O'Neill here, comedian and host of this podcast. Now, normally I go out in my car and do gigs and drive to a gig with a comedian, drive back and we have a chat. Back with a chat, but of course, because of the virus, there's no gig. So I've taken to ringing comedians and checking in with them and seeing how they're going. So this is the second episode of the virus edition. We'll be talking to Claire Hooper, who's an absolute corker. Corker of a chick, mate. Very funny woman, because she's got small children, as has Dave Thornton. We'll start off with Dave, again, a very funny person. And then finally, Dave Tolk, who's got a different living situation again. So it's all coming up. So let's start off with Thorno. Thorno, let's check in with the great man, Dave Thornton. Yes, good afternoon, Dave Thornton.
Oh, good afternoon, David O'Neill. How are you?
Yes, David. Do you get David very often, or...?
Not at all. To be honest, mate, my three-year-old has started getting a bit cheeky where she calls me by my name. And just,
oh, yeah.
For some reason, she'll just say, David, what are we doing this afternoon? Oh. Like, it's a business interaction.
Don't you love that? Like, I've got, what have I got, 16, 13, 11, and they're like, "What? Where are we going for a walk? What are we going to do when we get there? What's for lunch? What's for dinner? What's for dessert?" It's like, as I say, I'm not the activities officer on the love boat. I'm not walking around with a clipboard going, "All right, 11 o'clock, we've got croquet on the lawn." It's like, how old are your kids now?
Yeah. They're 3 and the other one's 16 months.
Oh, that's hard. Is it hard in isolation with that age group?
Mate, I mean, obviously I don't know any better, but I actually don't think it is, but it's funny that you just said, you being the activities officer on the love boat, that's what our days are like now.
Yeah.
Like, there is an itinerary, it's not written, but it really is, right, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, this is what we're doing this morning, come on, let's go, let's get in here. Because otherwise, it just devolves. I just got the phone call then from my partner, because I'm at the office, or what you call an office right now, and she's just turned to mush.
Yeah.
She didn't know what she was doing, and then now the days turn into they're both screaming. I don't know.
Well, what time is it? I'm ringing you at 4:30. That's like towards the cactus hour, you know.
Mate, that's why I took this call.
Yeah, I got to do some work in inverted commas. But also, the cactus hour can go for 4 hours. It goes from the bath to dinner to bedtime to a book. It's like it can be 4 hours sometimes.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, if the kids are also in a tiz at this age, you know, it could be an hour and a half. That's the worst it's been, when they're screaming and they don't want to go to bed.
Oh,
gosh.
Wait till they get to teenagers. You'll be watching, like, you finally get to watch a program with your partner, then your daughter, the 13-year-old, will wander out at 11:30 at night. Oh, I haven't been to sleep yet. Oh, great. And they just take so long to go to bed, teenagers. Just keep wandering in and it's like, go to bed! Anyway.
Yeah, the wander in and out. That's always the time when we had one last night. We tried to watch a movie.
That's a bad decision, watching a movie. I reckon you got to watch half an hour shows when you got little kids.
I just wanted... Because, you know, Easter weekend has just passed. We've recorded this now on Easter Friday.
Yep.
Easter Thursday, I should say. The Tuesday after Easter.
No, it's Tuesday. It's Tuesday, yeah.
We just wanted like some adult, this is a night out under COVID-19 regime, just to be able to sit there and have some chocolate and have some wine and watch an actual 2-hour movie.
What did you watch?
1917, which I've got to be honest, isn't the most romantic film.
No, it's just two guys running through fields getting shot and stuff. And yeah.
Constantly. And so we got to the end of it and we'd exerted way too much energy. You know, when you just... Like, you can feel yourself white-knuckling on the couch when you're finished, and you didn't realise you were that tense for the 2 hours.
It's quite a full-on movie. It's quite a full-on... My wife wouldn't watch that. There's no way. No way.
Yeah, my wife was clutching, because, yeah, you're right. It's World War One. It's based you know, in France, on the Western Front or whatever you called it.
Yeah, it's good times.
Oh, dude's getting shanked, shot, whatever. Nikki was just clutching every part of her body every time it got attacked.
Well, we've been watching The Crown, so, you know. So that's where we're at. So, But that's quite good.
Prince Philip did the dirty on Lizzie.
Oh, there's a lot of insinuating that. Yeah, absolutely. He's great, the guy who plays Prince Philip, too. There's a great scene where she goes, I put it to you, Philip. I have always loved only ever you and been loyal to only ever you. Can you honestly look at me and say the same thing? And he's like, he's like, I think they just cut the scene. He doesn't say anything. It's just like, oh, no, I actually can't. So we'll move on. What are the corgis doing?
I think the first, I've only ever seen the first season of that. I always thought it was as empathetic to him as you could be.
Yeah.
Because they talked about how his masculinity had been taken away from him. They refused to call him the king. He's just the prince. She never took his name, obviously.
No.
You know, there's all these reasons he's been shunned by the family. But then he is a jerk to boot. And
oh, yeah. What about the lunch club? What about the lunch club that he belongs to?
Oh, yeah. That has not aged well, mate.
The lunch club.
I can now understand why some of those men's club in Brisbane got shut down.
Yes.
I said, what do we do wrong? You're like, well, it hasn't been a great history, mate.
Well, we occasionally go for lunch as comedians, but it's not like that. It's not debauchery like those guys. Well, let's be honest. If Lawrence Mooney turns up, it is. So,
yeah. You know. Mate, ours is just being shunned in the corner at the Standard Hotel.
Yeah.
And just about every bloke going, oh, how'd you get that? What are you doing there?
Yeah, well, what you done? You're on a cruise ship? Well, what? How'd you get that? What? At least my refusal to do cruise ships has finally been revealed as the right decision. Yes, because of this virus. But anyway.
Oh, mate, could you imagine being a comic? You've only signed up for a week. You think that's long enough, but then you're on the Ruby Princess for 6 weeks.
I wonder who the comic was. It must have been a comedian on the Ruby Princess. There must have been some guy on there. There must have. I'd love to know. I'm going to Google that. And so is all your work stopped, basically, like me? It's all stopped? I mean, what can you do from home?
Yeah, mine fell off a cliff. I remember it was a couple of weeks out. Before all the sanctions really hit, I was getting a lot of cancellations from corporate gigs and things like that.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, I was talking to Nikki about this. You know, in the Titanic, when they go down, the band's still playing.
Yes.
And I was like, nah, in my life, we were definitely the first to be thrown overboard.
Yeah.
Like, metaphorically speaking. Yeah. They just saw the iceberg on the horizon. They said, yep, you jump out. Is there a lifeboat? There's not. Get off.
No. But look, have you done any of those virtual gigs? You know, there's a bit of that going around.
I haven't.
No, and nor have I.
I've heard some unbelievable stories.
Really?
I don't know if I could do it. I mean, I guess. Desperate times. But
someone told me that he did it and the cameraman laughed at one joke for every comedian. So, and he was really happy because the cameraman laughed at one joke. So it's like in the old days, you'd go on a show and do stand up. I remember doing recovery and we did it in a house or something. There was no audience. It was just the crew. And you know, making the crew laugh is like the hardest thing in the world.
So, yeah. Because yeah, you're right. If you can get laughs from the crew, it's always a good feeling, but
Can you imagine? Well, Stan are doing these specials. I thought that for an hour, but Hughie informed me they're half an hour. It's only half an hour. And there's no audience. You've just got to do it from your house. And then they're going to put that on Stan. So I'm looking forward to seeing them. Hughie's like, I'm just going to walk around and talk to the cat. You know, I'll talk to the cat. I'll talk to the dogs. I'll get the kids involved.
Jeez, you've been a great family. Never forget that.
What is this, Better House and Gardens? What is this show? But I assume some people are just going to do it in their bedroom in front of the wardrobe and for half an hour just talk at the camera and go, so, went down the shops the other day. You know, I reckon that's going to be hard.
I've watched Sean McAuliffe's Mad as Hell last Wednesday to see how it works without a crowd.
Yeah.
And almost because of his pace and... Yeah. I didn't mind it, to be honest.
I didn't mind it either, but I reckon the front bar are doing it right, where the crew and they get a few people to laugh. I reckon that's a bit better. obviously Sean's told the crew they can't laugh because there's absolute silence.
Absolute
silence. Yeah, there's absolute silence. Whereas I think that, like, you watch the front bar, and you can hear people laughing, which I don't mind. It's kind of if they're actually making the crew laugh on that show, so that's
cool. Yeah. You know, mate, my first ever TV stand-up spot, which I don't know how you felt about yours, but I remember the first one I ever did. I thought, well, this is the big time.
Yeah, yeah, this
it's
is
just going to be this is it. And it was because I worked at the Como Centre, which is in South Yarra, and that's where Channel 10 is.
Yeah.
And it wasn't one of those dreamy stories where I worked there and thought one day I'd get to Channel 10. It was just coincidence that I was working in this at this cafe downstairs in the shopping centre. And I was there, and my first ever gig was then the crew from Good Morning Australia would come down, and then they said, do you want to do a stand-up spot?
Oh, fantastic, with Bert. John Foreman and Belvedere. Belvedere, my boy.
Belvedere. I did do the stand-up spot to the crew. Like, it was to the camera, obviously, but Bert was behind me, and Bert was...
Laughing?
Bert was laughing.
Yeah, he's a good laugher. Yeah.
And then the crew was laughing. Wow. So that was my audience.
And so it went well.
Mate, material at the time was only so strong, but no. They were really encouraging.
Yeah, because you knew the crew. They knew you as the guy downstairs. They liked you, and so they were supportive. That's half the trick. That is bizarre, because my first ever stand-up spot on TV was on Bert Newton's New Faces. So that was with Bert too. And I thought Guy scored me well. But
Athol Guy.
And Karen Knowles was the other judge from Young Talent. And Bert was great. He was laughing a lot because he loves comedians, Bert. That's the thing. He loves comedians. So,
yes. Admittedly, what threw me off as I finished, and having seen American stand-ups, and you know when they always said when you're on Johnny's
house, you come over to the couch or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and he would say,
great job.
Go, that was the tick of approval. Well, I'd finished and Bert walked over, which made me feel really good.
Oh, that's good.
But he does. Bert's synonymous for giving you the wet fish. He gives you the...
Oh, the handshake. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it was caught on camera. I was a bit like, what? What just happened?
Have you got that footage? Have you still got that footage?
My mum has it on VHS.
Oh, fantastic. That's fantastic.
Matt, I really thought I'd hit the big time. I remember a local PR girl that came into the cafe, and she heard about it, and she goes, I can get you dressed. And there was in South Yarra.
Wow.
It was like... just a local store that gave me a pair of jeans and a t-shirt, and I thought, wow, this is Hollywood.
This is it. What year would that be? 2000 and something? 2001 or 2 or 3 or that? Or
yeah, maybe a bit later than that, like 2003, 2004.
Wow.
And I remember Troy Kinney came along for moral
support. Yeah, great.
He came in. We were both revved up about it.
I went on GMA as a guest, just sitting on the couch, and Bert was always very. But I'd never seen a stand up on that show, so that's good. I mean, they used to have singers, didn't they, and bands and stuff. But anyway,
yeah, it was like honestly, some of the cameramen and that, and I think the floor manager was like, "Oh, do you want to go on?" Yeah, all right.
Yeah, they're trying to fill 3 hours a day. You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
Now I'll ask you the three questions. I've got questions, new questions for this. Podcast. What was the last thing you cooked? There we go.
Last thing I cooked was... I'm trying to think.
Become very important.
Yeah, hasn't it?
Mm.
I will concede Nikki is... She's a chef. She's got the skills. Last night... What did we cook last night?
Mm.
Can't even remember. How bad is that? I think with the kids, mate, it's turning into one mush of a day.
Yeah, exactly. And also, do you do separate meals? Like,
That's right. We only had potato and cauliflower mash.
Yeah.
While Nikki made some fritters, so I made the mash. she made some of these fritters, and we sat outside with the kids.
Good times, mate. Good times.
Now that your kids are teenagers, you would. Yeah. Cook accordingly, but for us, because the kids are so young, you're kind of making one meal for everyone.
Oh, I remember
there is a lot of mash.
Yeah, I remember
there's a lot of very plain food because the kids don't like chili.
We used to put a plastic mat down, and they used to eat on high chairs, and you just get the mat and roll it up and tip it into the bin, and then hose it down for the next day. So
that's exactly right, isn't it? Yeah. It's like Eating's version of Twister. There's just kids running everywhere.
Or eat out. A good one is eat outside on the decking. You just go, I just leave it for the possums and go inside.
Yeah. That's true. Just becomes a feeding cage for the local vermin.
I was going to ask, what's the last thing you watch or listen to? But it's obviously 1917. So that's good.
That was the last thing I watched. Yeah, cool. A friend of mine did put me onto a podcast called Cowboys and Cocaine. I think some history of country singing. But the host was wearing me out a little bit. So I only got through one app. It was yesterday when I was doing the very homely thing. Of now, one of my favourite things is I'm doing the dishes tonight and I put in a podcast and everyone just leaves me alone.
Yeah, that's a good thing to do. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, our dads used to read the paper, you know what I mean? So that's the new reading the paper. I'm reading the paper. All right, don't disturb me. All right.
I've told you this, haven't I, Dave, where Nikki last year, she said, for Father's Day, she's like, what do you want to do for Father's Day? And I said, just treat me like a 1950s dad.
Oh, fantastic.
I could come home, tell the kids they can't talk to me for 45 minutes.
No, you've never told me this. That is a great idea.
Yeah. And just, you know, like I can sit there, be emotionally closed all through dinner. Yeah. Don't have to ask questions of anyone.
Yeah.
I've got my own seat. I don't even have my own seat in the house.
Yeah, right. No, you need your own seat. Dad always had the same chair and the same seat. But also my dad had worked out, so he sat in the only seat in the dining room where he could see the TV. No one else could see it except Kev. So he would have it blasted. Eat your dinner. Eat your dinner. Oh, bloody Rene Kink got 4 weeks. Why? Shut up. Eat your dinner. What's going on? Right.
It's so true, isn't it? Who told me the story of a mate of theirs where they said the way what he does when he comes home from work, he has a can of beer and he just parks around the house.
Yeah, and reads the newspaper. Yeah, someone told me this.
Cracks open a beer and just sits there on his own drinking a half a glass and then goes, all right, and then drives the rest of the way home and goes, that was my time. That's it.
Well, obviously, he hasn't got set up on his phone like I've got with Find My Phone where my wife can see where we all are. And she like rang me up once and said, are you in a drive-thru? I'm like, my car just broke down and I had to push it in here. I'm getting some McHelp from the people.
I just told the RACV guy to upsize my engine, so I've got to wait 5 minutes for this.
Now, I wasn't going to say, what's the last human contact you had with, most people it's their partner, so it's not...
Yeah, sure.
You still get takeaway coffee, or...?
Yep, takeaway coffee. There's a nil around the corner from us. It's Sweet Evelyn Cafe in Brunswick.
Sure.
And the last one is actually here. There's an office that a lot of comedians have, Stupid Old Studios.
Yeah, yeah.
And I share it with Emma, who's working from home. And so I come in here knowing that no one else will be in here.
Great.
And Evan's a video editor here, who's put together my stand-up special, actually. And I just talked to Evan about...
Yeah. Well, we should move on to plug here. Where can people see this? Can they see it? I remember when you filmed it. Can they see it anywhere yet, or...?
Mate, very good question. We're just getting the final touches on it now, and we're figuring out what we're going to do with it.
Yeah. You got to pitch it to someone or get it out there?
We're going to pitch it initially.
Can Evan just cut all the audience out and turn all the laughing and clapping down and just do it as a isolation?
Stan special.
And ring up Stan and go, hey, I've already done it. It's already finished.
I know this is going to annoy you guys, but there is an audience here. Is that really going to, they don't have to be there, but saying I found it really works.
Well, we look forward to seeing that anyway when it comes out. And also, I've just put the Dave pilot up online. It's on Vimeo, but I just put the link on Facebook and Twitter, and someone pointed out that it's only had 31 views. So, but as I pointed that back to them on Twitter, I looked it up. The ratings for that show was 266,000 on a Friday night on Channel 10. So if you want to see Dave Thornton in fine form as Pete, the annoying dad at school, have a look at that. It's on my Facebook and Twitter. You can find it. Or just Google Dave the pilot.
Yeah, being a personal trainer.
Yeah, Dave Thornton is very funny in it. thanks for talking to me, Thorno. And... look, if your wife rings, you're still talking to me and you'll be another half an hour. So,
Dave, it's the new podcast. It takes 4.5 hours.
And I'm getting a lot of money for it. It's like he's putting $5,000 in the mail. It's unbelievable. Oh, good to speak
Thanks,
to you.
Thanks, mate.
Hello.
Claire Hooper, how are you?
Good, thanks. I'm trying out the car office for the first time. I've been hearing all about this from other podcasting comedians.
Oh, you're in the car?
Yeah, aren't you?
No, I'm sitting in my bedroom.
Oh, you're not this time.
I should be in my car, but I'm sitting in the bedroom. I did the other one in my car, but...
Yeah, well, I feel betrayed. I was led to expect Dave O'Neill in his car, and here I am in my car like a schmuck.
Well, you sound very, it's very quiet where you are. I suppose there's no traffic.
Yeah, there's no traffic. I live on a really busy road, and it's one of the strange and beautiful things happening in this pandemic is witnessing my street all shut down. I can cross it. I don't have to go up to the traffic lights. I can just walk across it. It's amazing.
I know your street. I've picked you up from and dropped you off before, and I do believe that's the street I went and had my sleeping test on in a hospital. So I know. And actually, I'm pretty sure I had my vasectomy in the same street, but in a different hospital. Wow, that's had a lot of medical procedures.
I live in a real hospital street. I really do. I'm in a great area to catch the COVID. And I actually mean that in, I'm like, this is, well, we always joked about it. We got a daycare on one side and a hospital on the other. And we joked about it in the event of the zombie apocalypse that we'd basically be sandwiched between two breeding grounds for zombies because children and sick people, easy to catch and then reanimated at full strength.
Yeah.
You know, like we'd be in a real hot spot. And now that COVID's around, I realize it's not the zombie apocalypse, but we're still like, oh man, we're between two nests of the virus, basically.
And how are you finding
it? So that's great.
Isolation with, how old are your kids?
They're 4 and 6.
Wow. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just spoke to Dave Thornton, who's got, 3 and 16 months.
Yeah. He's even, I'm grateful every day that I'm not where he is. I feel like the 2 years ahead of him that we are has made all the difference.
So your oldest child would have been going to school. So have you done
any... Yeah, year one. We start tomorrow. I mean, at the point where you pop this podcast in people's phones, I will have experienced it. When you called, I was just doing all the logins.
Yeah.
I'm still really lost. There's sort of 6 different resources that I have to log into with different passwords and stuff, and I'm not really sure what I'm doing yet.
Yeah.
And I know that it's all meant to make it easier for the parents, but I'm like, man, for me, I would just rather they're like, hey, number one, teach them to read. Number two, make sure they can do basic sums. And I'd be like, yeah, I can get my head around this, but this is not – it's almost made it harder doing it properly. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know, but I mean, my kids were saying – you know, oh, when are we going to start doing school? The youngest one's 11. I'm like, oh, God. I read this thing. Because my partner has stated that because I did teaching that I'm in charge of it. But I had a reminder. Mm-hmm. I finished my degree in 1985. So that's a long time. That's 35 years ago when you could still hit kids back then. So I don't know. my teaching is going to be very 80s style. I can tell you now. There's going to be a lot of woodwork. Do the walk against want.
If you could be bothered, you really should be running a camera across everything you do just for the documentary, you know, after the incident so that they can, you know. the way the Tiger King doco makers were so lucky that he'd been so camera obsessed that they had all the footage they needed. Yeah.
Have you watched that?
Yeah, well, of course I have.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been in lockdown, and I'm actually usually the person who's been like, no, it's on my list. That's my answer to everybody being like, have you watched blah, blah, blah?
Tiger King, The Crown,
Right? Mm. And now I'm finally actually chewing through stuff, and I kind of, I mean, it's almost, I'll be honest, it's almost like, you know, the way you're like, oh, I never eat McDonald's, that'd be nice. And then when you do it every night, you're like, I feel awful. And I feel like that about watching TV every night because I'm just not used to it.
Yeah, you're like me, you'd be out. It's very, I assume you would be working a bit, 3 or 4 nights a week or whatever, and Wade would be at home with the kids. But now we're home every night with our partners.
Daytime, fine. I can get my head around that. But being at home at night, I'm used to that thing of like sort of crashing down onto the bed with that, like, you know, dusting my hands off and going, ah, I did my job.
Yeah.
And I don't have that at the end of the day. It's like going to sleep is like, am I allowed to sleep?
Yeah, I know. But also, you're probably like me.
You tired myself out.
You're used to getting up at the dinner table at 7 o'clock going, all right, I've got to go. And it just...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but now there's... No, I don't have to go. So... Let's watch another episode of The Crown.
That is a ridiculous thing to complain about. Obviously, I'm not. Yeah. I've loved it. I've been watching some Westworld and some Succession. Yeah.
Well, Succession's great. That is fantastic.
Oh, it's unbelievable. A ripper. Yeah.
You know why it's so good to talk ourselves up? Written by a comedy writer, Succession. So.
Yes. Didn't they? Were they from Peep Show or something?
Yes.
I'm trying to remember
yes.
what I. Yeah. Yeah. And you can tell. We were talking about that today, actually. Wade was like, so would you classify it as a dramedy? And I was like, no, it's definitely a drama.
It's a drama, but it has elements of comedy.
It's funnier than so many.
Yeah.
God, that, what is the.
Well, you know, Sarah Snook. She
what
lives
is,
where.
Oh, that's what it is. The best line in it is buckle up, fucklehead. So good.
I like the Macaulay Culkin's brother. Who's
Oh my god, Kieran Culkin.
Oh, he's
amazing.
So funny.
The lines he's got. What does he say? He's like, oh, that, everyone loves me. I'm like a little matador. I don't even know what that means, and yet it's so funny.
And when he goes, I love being part of the 1%. I love it. Have you got to the part where they send him on a course with normal people? Have you got to that part?
Oh my god, no. The management course.
Yes.
We're just coming up to that episode and I cannot wait. But and again, not to do a spoiler. That bit when he is at the wedding and he watches the launch on his phone.
Oh, that's fantastic. The rocket that he's meant to be in charge of. Yeah.
The acting, the performance,
fantastic.
The whole thing just goes so silent and there is no scripting and it's the funniest moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
Well, I'm glad you're watching it because that is a good show. And now Wade's, you know, he's studying script writing, your partner. So now he can actually sit down and
you
and,
know everything. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now I can
bang out that script.
Now, it's yeah, yeah, actually, wouldn't that be great? I mean, that's the, oh God, that's what everyone's banging their heads against the wall, like literally, because this is the gift we asked for, as in a bit of time.
Yeah, but the kids are at home.
We're all incapable of using it. I just can't. I'm at my least creative and I'm at peace with that. Like, it's an amazing thing to just lean back and be like, all right, so how am I when I'm achieving nothing? And I am so much better with the kids. Like, I'm just lying around on the trampoline with them. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But also, it's going to feel a bit rubbish at the end of it to be like, I wrote nothing.
Yeah, I didn't do anything.
Nothing.
I know. I think I should be working on a book or something. I just don't have the energy.
We should. Yeah, it's a really, I can't believe how quickly my entire body has become accustomed to not needing to achieve anything.
You know what I think? I think we've both got a very shallow form of the virus. That's what I'm going to go with. And
I think so too. I keep saying that to Wade. I've been a bit like, I reckon I might just have a light version of it, a little bit. Because I'm very sleepy. I'm very tired. Normally I start till 11, but I'm very sleepy at 9 p.m. Yeah, I just can't. I feel like time is a bit like money. Like you suddenly come into more of it.
Yeah.
And you just expand. Like I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say? I mean, I'm not in the.
Well, that's the thing. I mean,
for
I think.
A month, so.
I think you're right. If you've only got especially with children, if you've only got a limited time where you can write, you end up writing more because you've got, okay, I've got an hour, when they're in daycare or whatever, I'll do it now. But now you've got them all day, it's just like, I don't know, you know.
Yeah. And I could, the evenings that I used to be gigging, I should be able to do something. And yet, I just, anyway, I'm not complaining.
No.
It's a really, like, it's, I'm going to look back. I reckon I'm going to look back in a sentimental way on this time.
Yeah.
This particular period where no one I know, no one in my circle is affected by coronavirus apart from, you know, like a lot of people worrying about their bills and stuff.
Mm.
But basically we're just living in this strange limbo. And it is, there is a lot to enjoy about it if you just let go of the uncertainty.
Yeah, you're very wise. I know what you mean, because it's really concentrated family time, and not even extended family. It's just family.
Yeah.
It's
Oh,
just.
yeah. If this were spending, like I love my in-laws, but if this were a few months with the in-laws, that'd be a
Oh,
different thing. But
yeah.
no, like the immediate family,
Yeah.
I like my kids, and I mean, like, I'm having an occasional breakdown. Are you? Like,
Oh,
are you having an
yeah.
occasional, like, just
Yeah.
real spike of rage? Or
Screaming.
yesterday,
Yeah.
yes. And I never used to swear in front of the kids, and I feel like, wow,
Yeah.
they watch more screens now, and they get sworn in front of. Like, that's
Yeah.
just gonna, it's gonna have to be like that,
Oh, yeah.
because I can't leave.
Well, I asked the 11-year-old what's been the best thing, and he said more screen time. So, and we try and keep it to a minimum, but there's nothing you can do in these times, I got to say. There's only so much going to the park you can do.
Yeah, that's right. Like, you can do a daily exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tricky. I don't think the kids are going to want to go back. We
No.
have set some limits, but ours are really little, so we have to. So our
Yeah.
limits are weekdays, they don't get TV till 4:30. This is why I'm speaking to you at the time I'm
Yeah.
speaking to you, because they're in there watching Swashbuckle.
Swashbuckle sounds good.
Oh, it's great. It's a UK show. It's like a game show for kids,
Oh,
and they all
wow.
dress up as pirates. And there'll be four contestants, and they're all on the team where they have to go into this replica pirate ship
Yeah.
and search for treasure while the pirates try and chase them out, and the clock's ticking. Can you
Oh,
imagine how great that is?
that
And
sounds
then, you know,
fantastic.
an audience of school kids just
It's
cheering.
going crazy. Yeah, right.
Super fun. We'll have to
But
set up a swashbuckle in the backyard, I reckon.
yeah. Now, did I read that you were quoted about Tim Brooke Taylor from the Goodies
Oh,
getting, or did I see a tweet or something about the getting cut down by the virus? You're a Goodies fan.
Yeah, I was a big Goodies fan. I don't
Yeah.
I mean, I know Goodies is not as cool a reference as many other old comedy
No, I
shows,
reckon it's
but
cool.
I think it is, man. So I haven't spoken to anyone of my generation or above that hasn't
Being a fan.
gotten got yeah got
Yeah.
a real fondness for the Goodies. And Tim Brooke Taylor in particular, as a kid, he was the kid of the three of them. He was
Yeah.
so silly and lovely, and always did the cross, like played women characters, but not in a footy show way, just in a
Yeah.
lovely, gentle way. And man, I loved him. And I honestly think he, I really feel like he has informed what I do on stage, because he's one of the few gentle, joyful
Yeah. Yeah,
comics.
you're right. Well,
You know, like, and I, yeah.
it's interesting because my wife loved him too. So women really liked Tim Brooke Taylor when they were teenagers and girls.
Hey,
Interesting.
maybe Dave, that's because, you know, because you had what did you have? You had the
Yeah.
Goodies, and you had Monty Python, and you had Benny Hill, and
Yeah.
Tim Brooke Taylor was as close as we had to a woman on screen. Feel like if you
Yeah.
wanted a
Yeah,
female comedian, well, you couldn't have that, but you could have him dressed as Eva Perón, and that
Yeah,
was as good
true.
as we were going to get in that
And
generation.
also some of the like Kenny Everett, my wife didn't like him, for example, found him very sort of a rude or something. She didn't warm to him at all, but she loved the Goodies. Interesting.
Yeah, all right. No, I love Kenny Everett too,
Yeah.
but I mean, yeah. Then there were women on screen, but we were not doing anything.
No.
The scene could have existed without us,
Yeah, it's
you know?
interesting.
Yeah, that's
Yeah, amazing times.
yeah.
Amazing times. What's changed now?
Amazing.
When do you reckon the first comedy show you saw with women was? Like Ab Fab or something like that? Do you remember what?
Yeah, and I remember that because whilst I liked Ab Fab, it frustrated me that it wasn't. It was what was it? What was my issue with it? So I'm a teenager, and I'm like, yes, it's a comedy show, and everyone likes it, but it's not about punchlines; it's about characters. And
Yeah.
I still felt like it was like, here's a style of comedy that women are allowed to do.
Oh,
What is funny
okay.
about this is it's women being ridiculous characters, whereas I wanted to see them allowed to do man style of comedy. And I don't think I was
Yeah.
saying this out loud. That was just why
Yeah,
Ab
right.
Fab didn't sit right with me. But there was a lot. I mean, in the 80s, there was a lot of great work being done by funny women, but I still found myself loving, I don't know, like, I love the young
Yeah, the
ones.
young
There
ones
were
was good.
so few. I mean, then what
Yeah.
was there? There was Dawn French being the Easter Bunny, and even that wasn't very funny. It was just to
Yeah,
get
right.
on screen. Here's where I remember women being good, Blackadder. And they were still in the minority, but
they were funny though, yeah, you're right.
They were some excellent women roles. Queenie was so good.
Very true. What a show. Hey, Al, I've got questions that I ask everyone. I've been asking. What was the last thing you cooked? Oh, you there?
Oh, pikelets?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, go on.
Pikelets with smiley faces on them.
Oh, nice.
No,
yeah. Pancakes are good in this time of virus. They are a good thing. What was the last thing you watched or listened to?
Swashbuckle.
Swashbuckle.
was logging into the school online and watching Swashbuckle when you called. What was the last adult thing? Hold on. Hold on, mate.
The Tiger King.
John Oliver.
Oh, John Oliver.
John Oliver last night, and of all the people broadcasting from isolation, I feel like he's nailing it.
Yeah, someone else tell me that. Well, I saw someone in the street and they yelled out, "You're watching John Oliver." I'm like, no. So I've got to watch it. And what was the last bit of human contact you had?
Sorry, say that again.
Oh, what was the last bit of human contact?
Yeah, well, I've got heaps of at-home human contact because we luckily had a really good mate of mine get stuck on her way to Berlin in our house. So we got someone living in the spare room. We have plenty of company.
Plenty.
Yesterday I went for a jog and I bumped into three different people that I knew.
Oh, wow.
And I got so lucky and I had a good, so I had a great jog and three decent conversations.
But from 6 feet away, it's funny, isn't it? You have these.
Yeah. You stand on opposite sides of the jogging track with your back pressed against the fence.
Well, Claire, thanks for talking to me.
This has been a delight. Thank you.
You're sitting
so
in the
much.
Car, in the car studio, and and people can follow
I'm gonna
you.
I'm going to pretend this went for a lot longer and sit out here for a while and finish my tea. Thanks.
Don't worry. I said the same thing to Dave Thornton. You can tell your partner went for half an hour if you want. People can follow you on Twitter. And
I'm not really doing anything properly except Instagram. So if you want
Instagram.
Something that's. Yeah, that's the only genuine participation. So the Claire Hooper. Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Claire.
Nice one, mate.
Wow. Terrific, isn't it?
That's technology.
Hey. Oh, hello.
Oh, there we go. Oh, that's disturbing.
Hello.
I'm seeing your face.
Look at us both wearing glasses.
ladies and gentlemen, it's Dave Tolk. Now, Tolkie.
Hello.
Now, someone's texting me. It's all go here. Well, it's actually not all go. I'm hiding in my bedroom from my children. How are you going in isolation, Dave?
I mean, fantastic. I don't have any children, as you know, Dave, so... I've already got that covered.
Was that pause?
Was
that pause because of the delay, or were you just thinking about something?
No, it was the delay. Clearly, the delay. Not, I wasn't thinking about it. No, I wasn't sad about the fact I have no children.
Is that why?
This is the kind of time when you're glad.
There was a very large pause. Were you
moments
just,
where you think, yeah, those choices were the right ones.
Were you just looking listfully into the sunset? Yeah, no kids.
No.
But you know, as you know, I know your brother. Chris, who's a pilot.
Yeah.
His kids go to my kids' school, Geelong Grammar.
Correct.
And,
yep.
No, it's a state school. But anyway, he was always, he's got kids. So you can, you know, hang on to those kids for a little bit.
Not going to do it. No interest in helping at all.
Surely you're like the fun uncle. I mean, you're the comedian, you know.
Yeah, well, you'd think so, would you? But they're more into sports, and you know me, and I'm not overly sporty, so he's more the fun dad, really, I think.
Chris, he seems quite quite active.
Yeah, he is. He's very active. Mm. He's so active, his heart gave up on him quite recently.
Oh,
so.
You told me, but he's okay.
Yeah, he's fine now, but, you know, that's a reason not to exercise, isn't it, hey?
Well,
your heart's going to stop at some point.
Well, when you told me that, I said, well, what hope have me and you got if his heart's, because he's so fit, your brother. Anyway, look, so isolation.
Well, no, but ours, you see, I think.
Yeah.
I think the difference is that because we work our hearts a lot harder, yeah. They're stronger. They're bigger muscle. His is a weak, lean muscle, right? Ours is massively.
Yes.
It's got lots of fat around it to keep it in place. It's better. I think it's a better thing. I mean, science may not agree with that, but.
No.
It's, yeah.
Now, how are you going
well,
isolation? Yeah, I just want to know, because I'm checking in with people, and you've been a regular on my podcast. How are you?
I'm doing good. I mean, to be honest with you, this was a dream come true for me.
Why?
Because I was trying to understand how I could explain to my wife why I should stay at home all day, every day, and every night, if I could, without looking like a lazy bastard. And so pandemic sorts that out.
Yeah. And
there you are.
Are you applying for the $750 a week thing, the JobKeeper Seeker thing?
Yeah, I've applied for that, yep. And I got a phone call yesterday from the government. And as I answered the phone, they said, "Hi, how can we help you?" And I said, "Well, you rang me." So that's going well, I think.
But $750 a week, that's more than you've ever earned. That's just brilliant.
That is. That'll be my career highlight so far, $750 a week. Well, and I can't wait to start spending it on widescreen TVs and PlayStation games and
anything
booze.
Anything you can get delivered, basically. Anything you can get delivered.
Yeah, well, you know, all that I care about is BWS is now delivering, so what else do you need to know?
What do you need to know?
Yeah.
I tell you, but you don't
need to know anything about that date.
I'm interested in people's personal situations. So I've got kids, but you've got no children. But you have a wife is she working from home, Zoya?
Yes, she is at the moment because she's an educated person with a real job. So she's a scientist who works in academia. So she can work from home because she only has to write her whatever. I don't even know what they do, scientists, to be honest. But whatever that is that she does it from home. Yeah,
experiments. Maybe she's experimenting on you.
I think maybe. Is there really a pandemic? Is this just a lie? What's going on?
But do you have to look after her and provide her with lunch?
No, but I'm loving it.
Really?
No, I do a lot of the housework while she's in the other room. And sometimes I call into her work more often than I ever did before. So I just call into the office.
Yeah.
Just say, honey, I was passing by. Just thought I'd call and say you're going at work. So really, it's working out a lot better.
You should get a trolley with cakes and muffins on it and coffee and tea. Would you like anything from my trolley? I'm here for you.
be like a trolley dolly. Hello. Yes. Welcome to Qantas. I can't go there anymore. Too many of them sick now too.
Oh, I know. Hey, so how do you reckon the comedy world will change once this is all over? What do you reckon?
Well, in the way it'll change for me is that I'll definitely stay on the dole because this is real good. I'll definitely stay on the dole, and I'll definitely continue day drinking. I think those two things I've learned are very good.
Oh, excellent choice.
You know, because it just takes your mind off, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know. You've been day drinking?
No, I'm not a big drinker. I'm a big eater, as you know. So I've already had M&M's today.
You've been day eating.
I've been day eating. A lot of day eating, a lot of snacks. But I've been getting up and walking. Then I go for exercise with the kids. But I'm still fat. So I think.
Are you doing more than you did previously?
Yeah, I am doing more exercise. Yeah. Oh, the park's full of people. There's a lot of people dusted off their frisbees. The park's like Bourke Street where I live. It's like incredible.
Oh right, okay, yeah.
Incredible.
So really, what's happening is everyone just thinks this is the best Easter holidays we've ever had.
Yeah.
And it goes on for 3 months.
Yeah. Probably longer. All right. Yeah.
No, that's what they reckon. They reckon 6 months it is.
Yeah, I know. That's a long time.
6 months.
That's going to be a long
time. So I've been burying myself. I've been every morning. I must admit I've been getting up early every morning myself.
Yeah.
Just to watch Donald Trump give his briefings.
Oh, you watch the briefings. Yeah, how's that?
Oh, they are the best. They're fantastic. If anyone's not watching them, do it because they're amazing.
He's funny.
Comes out and basically... He hasn't read what he's about to tell the government or the people of America, not read it yet. So he comes out and says things like, "Oh, we got 25 million N95 masks. 25 million, that's a lot, isn't it?" Like, he hasn't read it. So.
And were you telling me, is that where he had some
and
scientists?
And then he wants to fight with all the
scientists.
He wants to fight with all of the journalists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't. You know, yeah, what do you mean? You wouldn't know. You're a second rate journalist. You're rubbish. Yeah. Just amazing. But you said it last week. I never said that. Then they repeat to him what he actually said verbatim. He said, we took it out of context. Jesus, this guy's bold. He's bold. You know what I mean?
And it goes for hours, doesn't it? It goes for hours, his press conference.
Goes for about 2.5 hours, yeah, normally. And normally he says things like the petrol prices are so cheap, they haven't been this cheap since the 50s. So pretty much now, as a watcher, an audience member of this thing, I can pretty much tell you what phrases he's going to use when he starts to spring him into a sentence, you know?
Yeah, right.
It hasn't been like this since the 50s. There you go. He rang Saudi Arabia. He rang them again, did he? Yeah, he did. He fell on the phone to the Crown Prince.
So...
But I tell you what I have been doing, though, which is bloody terrific. I've been going down the YouTube rabbit hole.
Oh, no.
Right. Now, I'll tell you how this all started. I was looking at the pandemic that happened, the Black Plague, right?
Yeah.
And I was curious to find out, what did they do? You know, how did it all end up?
Interesting.
And so eventually, you know, the way that they dealt with it was lock everyone in their houses, as we are doing. It's the same thing, really.
Yeah.
We've come a long way. So then I started to think about medieval knights. So I was looking up medieval knights. Now, I didn't bet you didn't know this, that there are still people who do medieval knighting today. Well, not today. Obviously, they're all locked down.
Yeah, they're reconstructing, and what are they called? Reenacting.
Yeah, but it's even worse. It's like full combat medieval sports with blades and axes and stuff. So everyone gets in their armor. They go and beat the shit out of each other in a paddock, right?
Yeah.
And if you fall over, that's you're dead. Right. If you fall over, you're dead.
Yeah.
So this is called, it's called the International Medieval Combat Federation. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, right.
Countries versus countries.
You should do it.
So I mean, I'm not going to do it. Well, you are not mental. I come out and hit you in the head with an axe while you're wearing a hat. You do it.
Like it's an accountant dressed in as a knight comes out and whacks you with a mace.
That's like, what it is. Yeah, This is Tim the truck driver, who's a bus driver, and he's also a medieval knight. He's the Black Knight today. But then I got this other. Then I got, well, I wonder what their actual weapons would have been like. So, more research on YouTube. Found another show called what's it called? Forged in Fire.
No.
So what these guys do is build weapons of the period, and then attack pigs with them.
What? Pigs. Why?
So what they do? They have because they've got two guys. It's like a Next Top Model kind of show, but for medieval story.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So they've got a panel that watches them. They make this. They blacksmith the whole thing, and then they come out and then they give the weapon. And then the guy, some's going to cross between sort of David Carradine and Bruce Lee. He gets the sword, and then he chops things up with it. And they chops up pigs. That was the first season.
Gee.
So I've just been cherry picking. But then they got even better. They got these ballistic dummies, right? And they fill them full of blood. Now the guy chops them up with blood, chops them up, and all blood pisses out everywhere all over him. He's covered in blood.
Yeah.
And then he walks up to them, as you said every time before, Mr. Smith, your weapon will kill. And that's how they do it. And that's how you know if your sword's any good.
See, this virus has been handy for you with your research. Now, there's some great recommendations, listeners, there. Hey, now, can I ask you these?
Yeah, no, definitely get on that.
Oh, can I ask you these? Your train's arrived. I heard a toot. Now, can I?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask these three questions.
The world's still going on.
That I'm going to ask everyone today. So what was the last thing you cooked?
The last thing I cooked was a baked pasta dish for myself and my wife with mushrooms and some onion and, something nice.
Beautiful. Yeah. So you do a bit of cooking. Yeah. I was going to say, what was the last thing you watched or listened to? But I think we've heard that YouTube.
Yeah. The president this morning.
Oh, the president.
Attacking another poor reporter.
And what was the last? What was the last bit of human contact you had? It's probably with your wife, I assume.
In reality, with my wife. Yeah, that's the last bit. Because my dad lives across the road now, and I don't even call into his house anymore.
No, I can't see my dad either. But then these old. I've met your dad, but. Not because you don't want to, but because you don't want to give him a virus or...
No, but it's because I don't want to, so it's better.
It's very handy.
It's a good excuse.
Is your dad like mine?
I can't come in.
I ring up my dad and he goes, oh, I've just been down to Bunnings, I've got to go to Kmart, then the bakery. It's like, Dad, you're not meant to be going anywhere. But my dad's like, if he's a carrier, the whole of the Mitcham-Ringwood area is fucked because he is just out and about.
Well, they don't quite get it, do they? No. Anyway, I think they're thinking this is going to go away in a week. And it's not, is it?
Well, you know what? They don't get it, but they'll probably end up getting it. So that's what will happen with these old coots.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, you can... There's swings and roundabouts, Dave. The inheritance comes a bit quicker.
Yes.
So, you know...
Well,
you can start planning on the things that you want to buy with it, you know. Remember that Rolex you wanted?
Get it now. Nice. That swimming pool in the backyard.
Well, are you going to get a haircut?
Oh, I should get a haircut, but who's going to cut it? My wife will have to cut it.
Maybe what we should do is just go bald.
No,
by the time it grows back,
look, if you're in
the perfect haircut.
If you're in our age group, having hair is a bonus. So you should grow it. We should both grow it. Then when comedy starts up again, we form a Pearl Jam cover band. We can do a bit of Nirvana too, because we'll have the long hair, we'll have the flannel.
I was kind of hoping I'd emerge like Tom Hanks, you know, out of Castaway. Yeah. Just a big beard and hair buffed. And smell.
Buffed.
Have you been washing much?
No, yeah, well, I've been watching The Crown with my wife. And
washing. Every day? You've been not bothered?
I shower every day, yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Seems like a waste of water, doesn't it?
Yeah, I know. What for? To hang out with the kids.
Exactly.
Now, I've got to go. I've got to speak to some more people.
All right.
I've got to get out there. But, hey, we've got to plug your... is your Channel 9 web series up where you played the guy in the sex clinic?
Yes. Yes, it is. It's called Metrosexual.
Metrosexual. So have a look at that, everyone. It's quite funny. Well, I've seen the trailer.
It is very funny.
It's very funny. Let's say it's very funny. And
I get my pants down, Dave.
So. And also, you're in the Dave pilot, which is also, I put that up on Twitter and Facebook. So it's up there. Have a look.
Oh, good.
Talkie's in there.
I'll have a look at that myself.
Yeah, have a look yourself. Yeah.
And can you do some more writing, Dave?
Yeah. Well, I've been doing a bit of writing, but it's just a matter of, you know, we can't do much now that we're in lockdown. So can't do much filming, can we?
You can't do any writing? No.
No, I can't do any writing.
not yet. And it's not, if we live through it, we'll be fine. Hey, take care of yourself.
Yep. Thanks, Talkie. Dave Talk, ladies and gentlemen.